Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with J.J. Keeler, author of I Hardly Ever Wash My Hands, The Other Side of OCD. In her book, readers will uncover life with obsessive-compulsive behavior. This lighthearted yet serious and comforting look at OCD lets in some light into the closet of sufferers, as her heart-wrenching descriptions of life with OCD are also incredibly funny. But before we start, let's learn a little bit about J.J. A successful freelance writer, designer of custom children's books and muralists, she has a degree in English literature from the University of Colorado. In addition to her current work as an artist and freelance writer, J.J. has been a technical writer, a greeting card copywriter, an illustrator of coloring and picture books. She has produced freelance articles for magazines, including the featured bi-monthly column From the Horse's Mouth in Tweens Magazine, and a comic strip called Greetings from Mars, which ran in the Denver Daily newspaper. Above all, J.J. is also an OCD sufferer herself and was inspired to write about OCD to clarify many misconceptions about this disorder. She currently resides in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, with her husband, daughter, and 5 pets. Hi, J.J. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty excited having you in Inside Scoop Live. I'm going to read your book. I haven't gotten to it, but I did look at all the reviews, and I find it extremely, extremely interesting.
Because, thank you.
Yeah, because you're exposing a very serious theme without losing a sense of humor about it. So that's going to make a lot of people want to read it. And I think that it's very important that everybody gets to know exactly what is OCD.
Right.
So let's start with that question. What
okay.
is OCD?
Well, OCD is basically an anxiety disorder that is marked by these kind of intrusive thoughts that enter someone's mind. And they cause a whole lot of anxiety, and the way this person deals with them is by performing rituals like washing their hands or organizing things or counting and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know what? It is. I think there's a misconception, and I'm going to be guilty of it, and there's a lot of jokes about, you know, oh, yeah, my OCD and whatever, but the truth of the matter is that it is a serious condition. It can affect your lifestyle. It can affect your family. It can affect so many things.
Right. OCD kind of is kind of the butt of the joke of disorders in society. A lot of people say, oh, I'm being so OCD about this, or they refer to OCD in some kind of manner. But the truth is that people who actually have OCD, it's very torturous, and people's lives are literally destroyed by it. I mean, a lot of people can't work, they can't function, people kill themselves over it. I mean, it's not anything to be taken lightly.
Yeah, and you know, many of us have some kind of anxiety. I have claustrophobia, and I have trouble always getting on a plane because of the lockup, you know.
Right.
Stuff. But we don't, so I kind of get a glimpse of what it is like to be very, very scared and
right.
About. Are there different levels on OCD or?
Well, there's definitely different ways of, you know, you can have like a very minor kind of case of it or very serious. I mean, some people have OCD just about a few things, and they kind of have, you know, a less severe form of OCD, whereas other people have just crippling and, you know, super severe OCD, and they can't, you know, even leave their house or shower or do something that is just really, you know, mundane, simple task for most people.
Yeah, and I want to tell our listeners that you're not just the author of I Hardly Ever Wash My Hands, The Other Side of OCD, but you actually struggle with OCD on your daily basis in your life.
Right, and that's actually the reason I wrote this book, is because a lot of people with OCD have what is called kind of contamination obsessions, and they basically are obsessed with, you know, germs or dirt or keeping things organized and in order. And a lot of the stereotypes of OCD come from that, and and people think that OCD is all about being clean or being organized or being afraid of germs and washing your hands all the time. So the reason that I wrote this book was because I don't have that form of OCD. I actually am very messy and just very unorganized, and I've never been clean. Instead, I have a form which is called harming obsessions, and that basically means that my intrusive thoughts are not about contamination or cleanliness, but instead they're about a fear of harming people. So, for instance, I might be driving my car down the street and I'll hit a bump in the road and I will think that I've hit a kid. And so I will have to go back and check and make sure that it wasn't a kid.
Wow. Can you give us a glimpse of what life with your form of OCD is like? Take us through, I don't know, a morning or a task, or for our listeners to understand just how difficult it can be to keep up with a regular lifestyle.
Well, I should probably say that as of right now, my OCD is not very bad. It's pretty much under control, but I'll give you a glimpse of kind of what it was like. Basically, you would get up in the morning and, you know, just something really simple, like going to the mailbox, you would think to yourself, oh, you know, on the way to the mailbox, did I strangle a kid? And so you would go back, you would retrace your steps and look for essentially like a dead body of a child. And then you wouldn't find one, so you'd be okay for a while. And then 5 minutes later, you have the thought again, and you would think, am I sure that I didn't do anything? And you'd go right back out again and look again. If you went, you know, to the store or something and you were around a lot of people, you would think, oh, did I hit anyone in the parking lot with my car? And you would have to drive in the parking lot for, you know, an hour looking for anyone that you hit. Other times you would leave your house and you would think that you left the fireplace on or the oven on, and no matter where you were, even if you were like an hour away, you would have to go back and make sure that it was off. So it's just kind of like a bunch of stuff like that every day. I mean, there were days that you would be fine if you would just like stay in your house and, you know, not leave at all, you would be fine. But if you want to live your life, you kind of have to leave the house. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that Hollywood has made, has put OCD and with the germs obsession.
Yes.
Out there, you know, through series like Monk and,
right.
You know, and Howie Mandel, who's my favorite comedian, also.
Right.
I cannot imagine your form in a very, you know, in a very critical level.
Right.
And being a mother.
And actually, being a mother, it can backfire on some people. It can make them a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I actually experienced that. It made me a lot better. Just because I was able to kind of focus all of my excess energy on my child instead of on my obsessions. Now, some people are the total opposite, and they start fearing that they will hurt their child or that, you know, someone will kidnap their child. I haven't really had that part of it, which I'm grateful for. But I do want to say, because you brought up Hollywood, I totally agree how Hollywood has sort of taken OCD and made it this obsession about cleanliness and hand washing. And I don't want to take anything away from people who do have that as their obsessions, because, like you said, Howie Mandel is a perfect example of someone who legitimately has OCD and has the form that is, you know, driven by germs, and he's afraid of touching people's hands and that kind of thing. But what Hollywood has done is they have completely bypassed this form of OCD, and that leads people to not even know it exists. And so when people end up having these harming obsessions, they basically don't know they have OCD. And instead they conclude that harm is something they actually want to do, when that's the furthest from the truth. What OCD does is it takes whatever you find the most repulsive in life and it shoves it down your throat. So people with harming obsessions find harm extremely repulsive, and that's why OCD focuses on it. But I really do wish that Hollywood would kind of grab on to this type of OCD just to publicize it, and just so people know that it exists. So the next time someone, you know, ends up with harming obsessions, they actually know that they have OCD and they don't have the desire to actually harm. Because when I started having it, I automatically concluded that I was like some sort of killer, because I had no idea that I had OCD, because I always understood only, you know, OCD to be only germs and hand washing and stuff. So it does hurt people by them not telling the other side of the story.
So other than a little bit more knowledge of other forms of OCD, I'm imagining that you wrote this book because there were many things that you want the public who does not have to deal with OCD, whether they're a relative of somebody that suffers from it or they're a sufferer themselves, there's stuff that you want them to know and understand about this disorder. So
right.
What are all the things that you wish people who do not deal with OCD knew about?
Well, I wish that people would just understand that it's not a joke, and it's not charming or quirky. I think TV shows like Monk kind of paint it as being kind of an asset. Like, yeah, there's this detective that has OCD, but he also is great at solving crimes. And he's kind of a quirky character. People with OCD are not, they don't have this little quirky characteristic. They have this torturous disease that devastates their lives. So that's the first thing I would want people to understand. I would also want people to understand that OCD manifests in people in all kinds of ways. So just because someone is not organized or is not clean or, you know, is not afraid of germs, that doesn't mean they don't have OCD. A lot of people think that I don't have OCD because they come over to my house and they see that it's in disarray and that I'm not organized and I'm not, you know, afraid of germs. But the thing is that OCD has all these other sides. And you can have, you know, a fear of harming people. There's a fear of OCD there's a portion of OCD where people, you know, are afraid of being blasphemous and afraid that God will, like, condemn the earth because of them. There's a form of OCD where people fear, you know, all kinds of things. They fear harming their kids. They fear that they're going to start fires by accident or intentionally. There's all these different forms of OCD that kind of manifest differently. And even when people are, you know, kind of the stereotypical clean freak OCD, it's usually not what people think. Usually people aren't, you know, mopping the floor 100 times a day because they're clean freaks. They're doing it because they have these intrusive thoughts in their head. And the intrusive thought isn't usually, you know, you need to clean the floor. It's something like, if you don't clean the floor and make it immaculate, your mom will die in a car accident tonight. Or if you don't clean the floor and make it immaculate, some little kid will come over and he'll find a germ on the floor and he'll get meningitis. So there's reasons behind these rituals, and they're usually intrusive thoughts that are torturing the person. So I guess I would just mainly want people to understand that OCD is not the stereotypical disease that people paint it to be. And a lot of people like to say they're OCD, you know, like, oh, I'm so OCD, I'm being so OCD about that. But if you're not being tortured by a disorder or you're not spending hours a day with it, then chances are you're not really OCD. It's not a disease that, you know, slightly bothers you. It's a disease that tortures you. So that's what I mainly would want people to understand.
Yeah, so basically you're saying that, you know, if those intrusive thoughts take over your life.
Yes, they take over your life, and then you spend, with the rituals you do to quiet them, that can take hours and hours a day, you know. I mean, and people that have OCD and go through the therapy and get on the medication and get better, they can, you know, stop the rituals, and they can't stop the intrusive thoughts because you can't control what you think about. Thoughts pop into your head, they just do. But you can control how you react to them, and by choosing how you react to them is what either feeds your OCD or, you know, kind of makes it go away. And I don't want to say go away in the sense that it's cured, because I don't believe that OCD can really be cured, but it can definitely be controlled. And if you have these intrusive thoughts and you, you know, you perform your ritual, you're reacting to them and you're giving them attention, and your OCD continues to get worse and worse. If you have an intrusive thought and you ignore it, or you kind of play with it in your own mind and kind of make fun of it or exaggerate it or do something to, you know, kind of just be able to remove yourself from it and become disinterested in it, then OCD loses its power. If you lose interest in your thoughts, you know, OCD has no power over you. So that's kind of the whole point, is to be able to have these thoughts without reacting to them and without giving them validity. Like, I mean, really with OCD, it all comes down to these thoughts are just thoughts, but people with OCD often put a lot more credence in the thoughts than a normal person would, and so they give them a lot more validity, and then they react to them.
Yeah. So what would be a prognosis for somebody with OCD? Are they stuck with this disorder for life, or what are? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I believe that they'll be that they'll have OCD for life. I mean, some people say it can be cured. Most people say it's something that you will have your entire life. But it can definitely be managed. So I personally have experienced where I've had very bad OCD, and then I've had it go away for, you know, years, and then I've had it come back. So basically with people with OCD who, you know, go through therapy and they go through the steps and they're able to kind of beat it, I think the most important thing is for them to be vigilant and know that it's still there. And so they have to still kind of practice, you know, ignoring their thoughts or working with their thoughts to the point where they don't have to perform their rituals, because their OCD is still kind of within them, and it can come back up at any moment. So you have to be vigilant. Even if you think you have it beaten, it's still, you know, it's just kind of still lurking in the shadows, so you just kind of have to be careful. I'm sure there are people that have totally beaten it, but I think the most people will have it their whole lives, and it's just something they'll have to manage, and it's definitely manageable.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience, as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast, as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with J.J. Keeler, author of I Hardly Ever Wash My Hands, The Other Side of OCD. Stay tuned, because we're going to continue this interesting conversation with J.J. But in the meantime, if you want to check out her website, you can visit www.jjkeeler.com. That is jjkeeler.com. How do you manage? You have a successful career as a writer, and, you know, you're a mother, you have five pets. How do you handle these things on a bad day?
I kind of just don't allow myself to have bad days because I don't have time for them. But if I was having, you know, just kind of a really bad day, I would probably rely pretty heavily on my husband. But one of the kind of nice things about, you know, having a career and being a mother and having a house full of obnoxious animals is that all of the kind of chaos that comes with that kind of has a way of taking center stage and making OCD sit on the back burner. So that kind of helps. I think that if I lived alone and I didn't have, you know, a husband or a child or pets or a house to take care of, that my OCD would be a lot worse, because I'd have a lot more time to kind of focus on it. When you don't have the time to pay attention to it, it kind of dissipates, and, you know, that's to my advantage. So,
wow. I can't imagine. I mean, I grew up under parents suffering post-traumatic stress, and so I do tend to over-worry about things.
Right.
And I am pretty sure I am not obsessed about it, and yet I do have my little rituals with my kids at night. And,
right.
You know, and I make sure everything is closed up and the doors are locked, and I don't care how many husbands I have.
Right.
I'll do it. There are certain things that I will do that. So I'm trying to picture myself taking that worries, those worries, a notch higher. And I can see how we can handicap your life in the sense that, you know, you keep repeating and obsessing about being worried. That would not be fun whatsoever.
OCD is very, very not fun. Not fun at all.
So because I'm more, you know, I'm wondering all this, and there's a question involved in here, you know, how were you able to keep a sense of humor when writing a book about this?
Well, you know, I was kind of hesitant to do that to begin with because of, you know, I think that people are sensitive about OCD kind of being kind of a joke of a disease, and myself included in that. I think that it shouldn't be painted that way. But I wrote it kind of humorously for a few reasons. One is that that's just my writing style. I've always written, you know, kind of with a humorous undertone. I also did it because I wanted people who weren't particularly interested in mental illness to still be engaged by this book, and I thought humor would be the way to go with that. And thirdly, I did it because, you know, if you kind of just sit back and make fun of OCD, the people that have it, just kind of like make fun of your thoughts and make fun of what this disease is trying to do to you, there's a way of disarming it, you know, in that way. Kind of, you know, OCD is a very serious disease, and it's not funny in the sense where it should be made fun of by, you know, outsiders who, you know, are making fun of people with rituals or whatever. But with people that have OCD, there's something advantageous to making fun of your own thoughts and just kind of your own reactions, because when you make fun of something, you take away its power and you take away its you know, the fear that it brings up. So I kind of did it that way, just kind of to say, you know, if you have OCD and you're having a hard time with these thoughts, make fun of them. Because if you make fun of them, you start kind of seeing them for being what they are, which is ridiculous. And they're, you know, they're things that you shouldn't be reacting to because they are ridiculous. So.
And I want to tell our listeners that you are working on a website, and
yes,
you will have a blog and lots of goodies, information about this disorder also.
Yes.
But your website is, it has a domain already, and it's under construction, but you can write it down. It's www.jjkeeler, and that's KEELER.com. And I think it would be interesting what information you can put up there, and that's going to take me to my next question, because we've been, you know, I've been trying to get all information about the disorder.
Right.
But I want to also know, how is the family of somebody who suffers about OCD affected by it? Can you give us a glimpse of, you know, I know you have a husband and you have a daughter, and, you know, and your extensive family and friends. How do they see you? How do you affect their lives with this disorder?
Well, I would say that actually a lot of people did not know that I had OCD until I wrote this book. My family did, of course, and my husband and my very close friends, but I also had quite a few friends and extended family members, like cousins and such, that they knew that I had OCD, but they didn't know to what extent. And I think they kind of thought, oh, you know, she might wash her hands too much every once in a while, and that's it. A lot of family members with OCD, a lot of family members of people with OCD, might not be immediately affected because they might not know. One of the bad things about OCD is that a lot of people are very secretive about it because they are having these horrible thoughts and they think that they reflect on them as a person when they really don't. But they assume that, so they're very hesitant to admit that they are having these thoughts. They don't want, you know, to tell anyone, so they don't even tell their parents or their loved ones. Other times, people with OCD, it can be just so bad that it can destroy relationships. I mean, I've heard of people, you know, literally getting divorced because one of the partner's OCD is so bad and so demanding that it just destroys a family. For us, I don't really particularly think my family, as in my parents or sisters or anyone, have been really affected by it. They didn't really know the extent of it until, I didn't really know the extent of it either until college, and I was no longer living at home at that time. As for my husband and I mean, there's been times where, you know, I've been going through really bad stints, and we've gotten fights because I'm super anxious and on edge, and I'll start a fight with him because of it. But we, you know, our relationship is really pretty solid, and we don't really discuss, you know, OCD all that often. We don't really kind of, we kind of try to keep it, you know, separate from our relationship. But it definitely can, I mean, if you let it, it definitely can just destroy families, like any mental illness can.
Is there anything a family member can do to make it better for the person?
Well, the problem is, and this is where my husband and I have actually gotten in a few fights, is so the person with OCD, that what they are always looking for is reassurance. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, someone who has harming obsessions, such as me, they might go to a park with, say, their husband and see a bunch of kids. And the person with OCD might think, oh, my God, I'm afraid I hurt one of those kids. And so they'll ask their husband, did I hurt one? You know, are you sure I didn't? Well, their husband can tell them, no, you're being ridiculous. Of course you didn't. Or the husband can tell them, I have no idea. Or maybe even say, yeah, you hurt all of them, you know, and just be something ridiculous. Now, what the OCD person wants their husband to do is give them reassurance. They want their husband to say, no, you're fine. You didn't hurt anyone. What they're supposed to do to help the OCD person is either ignore the person answering the question or asking the question, or tell them that, yeah, you hurt everyone. Because by getting reassurance, it's just a form of checking.
And by you're checking, feeding it, yeah.
You're feeding it. So by the husband kind of giving you reassurance, they're helping you check and they're feeding it. By them ignoring you or even telling you that, you know, yeah, you did, of course, you hurt all those kids, you're making the person with OCD mad because they're not getting their way, but you're ultimately helping them because you're helping them to see that they're being ridiculous and that their thought was just a thought and nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of fights with OCD kind of come from the person without OCD trying to help the person who has it, but the person who has it wanting, you know, instant reassurance and not being able to get it.
Interesting. You would think that would make him more anxious, but it's actually the right thing to do, is to show that it's a thought and nothing else.
Right. I mean, they tell family members of people with OCD to essentially, when someone with OCD comes up to them and asks them for, you know, reassurance or to check something, to just ignore them or to basically that tell them that whatever they fear did happen, because that's what you kind of have to do with OCD. You kind of have to say, oh, yeah, it did happen, because then the person with OCD is kind of like, no, it didn't. I know it didn't, you know? So it kind of, that's kind of what family members are supposed to do is just pretty much ignore the person when they ask for reassurance, and that will ultimately help them, but it might also piss them off in the meantime.
Yeah. I can't tell you just how happy I am that you are shedding some light on this issue. You know, sometimes things get misunderstood because of movies or just because people don't talk about it. And unfortunately, to have something be so serious, be the joke of most of us, you know, I will never joke about this again. I can tell you that much, because, you know, I just get a little glimpse with my little phobias or my little quirks or whatever,
right.
And I cannot imagine, you know, how I would feel about somebody making fun of things that in a little, very small way tortures me every day, you know?
Right, right.
So just imagine something when this tortures rule your life, and it's ridiculous of people making fun of it. I want to encourage our listeners to check out your book. I Hardly Ever Wash My Hands, The Other Side of OCD by J.J. Keeler. And you can check out her website. It will be finished. The construction of it will be finished soon. So it's www.jjkeeler.com. Is there anything you would like to say to the families of surfers or somebody that's going through a bad day now?
Well, I would say for people that are obsessive compulsive, or they think they might be obsessive compulsive, I would urge them to get help, because there are there are medications and there's therapies that will help you. They're hard. I mean, they can be very hard to do, but they will help. I would also say that anyone that is suffering from any kind of mental disorder, I would encourage them to share their story and to talk about it. Obviously, there's a huge stigma with mental illness in our society, and I think a lot of that comes from it being, you know, just kind of laden with secrecy. But if people start to just kind of tell their story and talk about it, I think we can help kind of at least minimize that stigma, and a lot more people will realize how so many people are affected by mental illness in some way or another.
And I think that also the fact that in my case, when I was growing up with my parents, I took a lot of stuff personal. And I wasn't aware that they were actually recovering from post-traumatic stress because they grew up in World War II. And they were there was just a lot of worries in their minds, and they were very strict, and I couldn't do anything because everything was going to hurt me. And by understanding where they came from, I not only got over that personalized version of, oh, they hate me and that's why they do this to me.
Right, you know? Right.
And it gave me a relationship with them and I understood them. But on the other hand, by sharing their story, because I grew up not knowing anything, I realized that it was therapy for them.
Right. I mean, you just never know what someone else is going through.
Exactly.
Even if you know them, you just don't know.
Yeah, so just the relationship between us was born the moment they share their stories and I understood where they're coming from. So I'm imagining that would also sharing their stories for somebody who suffers OCD instead of bottling it up and trying to hide it from their loved ones. And I don't know. I cannot imagine living like that. That must be so stressful anyway.
Well, I do definitely encourage people, you know, to kind of step up and say, you know, I have this. And it also brings awareness to it. And like I said earlier, there aren't, like, a lot of people with OCD that don't know they have it. And so they unfairly, you know, have these horrible thoughts, and they just assume that it reflects on them, like, who they are, when it really is the antithesis of who they actually are. And so they just go to a very dark place, and they feel very low. And if they just knew that they had OCD, it doesn't make it go away altogether, but it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, and you know what? You bring a very interesting question. Let's say, let's talk about your own experience. When did you realize that this was not something that would go away, that this was something that you required to kind of explore and get some help with?
Well, when I first started having these harming obsessions, I was in college, and so I was around 20 or 21, and I had them for almost 2 years without realizing that I had any sort of mental illness. I just had concluded that, you know, I was some sort of murderer waiting to happen. And I, you know, for 2 years, I was just kind of biding my time until I end up in prison, because I was so sure I was having these thoughts because of some sort of underlying anger or, you know, desire to hurt someone. I finally had told a friend of mine kind of what I was feeling, and she just happened to had researched OCD and written a paper on it in college. So she was like, it sounds like you have OCD. And I was like, I know I don't have OCD because I'm not a clean freak. I'm not organized. I don't wash my hands all the time. So I was kind of guilty of the same stereotype that I feel a lot of people are guilty of. And so after she said that, I started to research it, and I actually found out that there's this other side of it that I had, and I found out that all these, you know, thoughts I was having were not reflective of who I was, but they were reflective of who I wasn't, and that's why OCD was kind of focusing on it. And so I ended up, you know, going to my parents because I was still on their health plan, and telling them I needed to go see, you know, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and that's kind of where all it started, where I finally figured out that I actually had this disorder and that I wasn't really, you know, some sort of murderer.
Yeah, well, so people should just listen to themselves and decide, okay, this is not normal. I'm obsessing about these questions, or these thoughts are recurring too many times. I should go and see a doctor.
Right.
Or confide on somebody they trust.
Right. if you're having like some intrusive thoughts that just bring, you know, just a ridiculous anxiety to yourself, and you can't stop them, and you find yourself performing rituals to kind of quiet them, then you probably should go talk to someone and just see if you have some sort of mental illness. You might not even be performing rituals. If you have any kind of anxiety, I would just recommend anyone to go, you know, get help. Like I think a lot of people can benefit from help.
Yeah. See, I could talk about this all day, but unfortunately we're running out of time. So let me, where can they find their book? Let us tell the audience, where can they find your book?
Well, it's available on barnesandnoble.com as well as amazon.com. It's available in some Barnes & Nobles. I'm not sure which ones. I just know it's a few of them. But Amazon seems to be the one with the lowest prices. I think Barnes & Noble prices might be comparable, but Amazon's pretty much where I've been directing everyone because, you know, it's pretty easy to go on there.
And I again, encourage our listeners to check it out. Is I Hardly Ever Wash My Hands, The Other Side of OCD by J.J. Keeler. And her website is www.jjkeeler.com. Thank you so much for being with us. This is very interesting, and I'm sure this interview is going to help a lot of people shed some light of this disorder. Thank you so much, JJ.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for listeners, thank you so much, and until next time.